Moving on to the fifth commandment today. Okay, yes, we did that. And we're going too fast.
You've got to slow it down.
Okay. All right, one of the things that we've seen in our society, and specifically coming out of the 60s and the 70s. we have a former hippie here with us, right? All right. During the 60s and the 70s, if you go back to the history of our country, you have the Vietnam War was very prominent. You have the sexual revolution, you know, came into its fullness. You had rebellion against authority of all kinds. Nobody can tell me what to do. There were pop psychology became very prominent. You had Dr. Spock, not Mr. Spock, but Dr. Benjamin Spock, who came up, wrote the book on raising a child, and was really the beginning of the child-centered parenting movement. That all came out, you know, one of the things that he advocated was you never say no to your child, all right, because it might damage their ego, all right?
How'd that work out?
Well, we've seen it. We've seen what has happened. What happened was that the generation that came up that was raised under the Dr. Spock while parents were in the midst of protesting, you know, the war and the Jesus movement came out of that. You know, all of this working together created this whole atmosphere of a lack of authority. And it became popular during this time and in the early 80s. For children not to refer to their parents as mom and dad or father and mother, but to start calling them by their first names. Okay? And this, don't try that, kids. Don't try that at home. You have to be a trained professional. And no. yeah. But the whole attitude, which we are still suffering from, is this whole idea of a lack of respect for authority. Okay? And I wanted to just talk about that for a couple of minutes, because we've come now to the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Okay? So one of the things that we need to, before we even get into the commandment, if you'll turn around just for a second and look at the Ten Commandments we have posted back there on our wall. Now you'll notice we have the Ten Commandments, but notice the division. You have what they call the first table and the second table of the law. And most commentators actually break it up the way it's broken up on those tablets. And that is that the first table of the law is the first four commandments, and the second table is the last six commandments, broken up that way. And but there are some who break it up five and five. Okay? And I want to talk about this a little bit, because I think it's important as to how we recognize the law and the difference between the first table and the second table. Okay, the reason that most people break it up the way it's listed there is they look at the first four commandments and they say that is how we respond to God. In other words, if you look at what are the first four commandments? You shall have no other God before me, no idols, right? Taking the Lord's name in vain, and keeping the Sabbath day holy. Starting with the fifth commandment, it's honor your father and mother. So you can see that it seems to break nice and clean between our obligations to God and our obligations to men. Because, of course, murder and adultery and lying and the stealing and covetousness comes after. I want to say that I don't believe that it's that crystal clear. And quite frankly, my perspective is if I was to break it up, I would actually take the fifth commandment and move it over onto the onto the first table. But even if you don't agree with that, you don't have to agree with that, because we're not told that there is this biblical break anyway. Okay, we're given 10. So how you break it up is not a matter of biblical warrant, but a matter of personal preference, really. Regardless of whether you think it should be 5 and 5 or 4 and 6, you have to look at the fifth commandment as being what I would call a bridge. Okay, yes. Yes.
And the authority there.
Yep. Let me read from Thomas Watson for a minute. Thomas Watson has written an excellent commentary on the Ten Commandments. And by the way, if you want to do a study in the Ten Commandments on your own at any particular time, I would highly recommend Watson's commentary on the Ten Commandments, as well as, of course, there's a lot of others. Here's what Watson said. The commandments may be likened to Jacob's ladder. The first table respects God and is the top of the ladder that reaches to heaven. The second respects superiors and inferiors and is the foot of the ladder that rests on earth. By the first table we walk religiously towards God, by the second we walk religiously towards man. He cannot be good in the first table that is bad in the second. Okay, so any way you want to break this up, you have to look at it as though there's two things that we're looking at, how we respond to God and how we respond to men. And this commandment bridges those two tables. Okay. The other thing that I wanted to point out before we get into this commandment itself is, you've heard me say this before, but I believe that there is a definite priority in the commandments. All right. I believe this. See, I believe this in virtually every list that we find in the Bible, that there's a priority, because God is a God of order. He's a God of design. And it only makes sense that there would be a priority. And if you look at it, you can see the priority clearly in the Ten Commandments. Firstly, what's the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. Well, I mean, it's got to come first, right? That's it. God is God and has to be treated as God. Second one is not putting any idols. Well, that makes sense. That comes out of the first one. If God is God, then you can't put any form or idol, for him. What's the third commandment? Third commandment is taking the Lord's name in vain. Well, clearly, based upon the first two, taking the Lord's name in vain would be violating those. Okay. What's the fourth commandment? The Sabbath day. How are we going to worship him? See, now you're getting into when do you worship him and whatnot. So that flows out of it. All right. Then when we turn to man, what's the very first commandment that respect to man is? How do you treat your mother and father? That comes right after how do you treat God. All right. And then what do? Then we have all the commandments. What's the very next commandment? Murder. Now, in our society, we always say that murder is the ultimate crime. Now, I'm a former homicide detective. Everybody knows that, okay? And that was the attitude throughout the homicide squad, even by men who were not religious. They said, this is the ultimate crime. All right? And interestingly enough, in the homicide squad in Suffolk County, and I believe it's still there to this day, is a needle point. Big, beautiful needle point says, thou shalt not kill. It was presented to the squad by a retiring member of who happened to be a Roman Catholic, and somewhat of a devout Roman Catholic. And his daughter needle pointed that and gave it to the squad upon his retirement. And it's still there, if I'm not mistaken. So, but the attitude was, this is the ultimate crime. Whereas, if you look at the priority that's in the commandments, we find out that it's actually number 6. number 6. Blaspheming God is a more heinous crime than killing somebody. Yet, do you realize that we used to have laws on the books against public blasphemy? A number of years ago, about 20 years ago, a judge from New Jersey, they had a guy who they were looking for another crime. And they didn't have enough to hold him, and so they went before the judge and they said, there is still a law in our books of public blasphemy. Let's arrest him for the public blasphemy until we get enough evidence to hold him. I think it was actually a murder. And they did. So they charged him with public blasphemy and put him in jail. And the case was thrown out on appeal because the appellate judge said that it was reprehensible that somebody should be jailed for the archaic notion of that blasphemy should be a crime. And the murder case was almost thrown out, you know, under the fruits of the poison tree doctrine. Okay, and so they overturned that. So I don't think you'll even find public blasphemy. Do you realize when I became a police officer in 1966, what are you laughing at? Okay. When I became a police officer, do you know that the crime of adultery was a misdemeanor in New York State? Can you imagine that? You could have been charged with a crime. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Okay. So anyway, the whole point of this introduction is to show where this stands. So as we're looking now, children, specifically children, think about it. Not honoring your mother and father in God's eyes is more heinous, more serious than if you were to actually take a gun and kill somebody. I'm not getting all the young people. Not all of them are looking at me right at this point. Interesting, isn't it? But I believe that you can see that clearly from the order of the commandments. All right, so let's look at the command itself then. What does it mean to honor your father and mother? It means a few things. Firstly, you can honor your mother and father by giving them reverential esteem. Okay? Now, it's interesting that the apostle who wrote to the Hebrews, he takes this for granted. In other words, he doesn't try to prove that this is the case. He takes it for granted. In Hebrews 12, verse 9, it says this, where we're talking about spiritual discipline. And the apostle goes back to talk about discipline that our fathers, our natural fathers give us. He says this, furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Now notice, I point this verse out because it's interesting. Note, remember that in the Bible, where we're giving analogies or examples or parables, the idea was to take something that is assumed to be true in the physical realm to prove a spiritual truth. Okay? So if you have, when Jesus gave the parables, why did he use the parable of the sower? Because he knew that all the farmers that he's speaking to, they would know that, you know, seed that falls on good ground is going to grow. Seed that falls on rocks and into the weeds, it's not going to grow, or it's going to start to grow. So he knew that the spiritual truth that he's going to teach about the Word of God being the seed, they would know it. So they wouldn't use a bad example or something that wasn't true to prove the spiritual truth. Notice that the apostle presumes that this is the case. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Okay? Because that's the natural order of things. And so in the same way, that we see this reverential fear and esteem that we are to give to God, we are to give to our parents. That's one of the reasons I believe that actually could be put over on the first table. Because in many respects, how we treat our parents is how we view God. Okay? How you treat your parents is a good indication of how you view God. Because in many respects, your parents stand in God's place over you because they have been given that charge to bring you up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. All right? And that's why they are worthy of honor. And in fact, in Leviticus 19, verse 3, it says, "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths." Notice how he hooks it in with Sabbath keeping, right? Which is the commandment right before it. Okay? And this reverence and respect, it must be shown both in word, in deed, and attitude. Okay? Yes. Well, it's like any other sin. You repent of it and move on from there. But understand, the Ten Commandments are binding upon everybody, whether you're a believer or not. Okay, these are ten. The Ten Commandments is the moral law. So if somebody comes to me and says, I'm not a Christian, it just doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're a believer or you're not a believer. You're still held accountable for it. Okay. That's like coming into Suffolk County, and we have certain laws here in Suffolk County that are not even part of the state law. All right. Like, for example, some of the towns set area speed limits. And you'll see like in Brookhaven, the basic speed limit in Brookhaven, I think, is 30 miles an hour unless otherwise posted. Okay. And you come in, you say, "Well, I'm not from Brookhaven." Well, you tell the nice policeman that he's going to give you a ticket anyway. See, the sign says 30 miles an hour. You were going 45, so you're liable for it. Doesn't matter whether you believe or not. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. You're still liable to the law. If you come to Christ later on in life, just like any of the other 10 that, or the other 9 that you've broken, you just repent of them. It's not the unpardonable sin. If you don't have a parent, whoever is in that position is to be treated as the parent. In other words, somebody raised you, whether your parent was absent or not, whoever is in that position, you know, whether it's a guardian, you know, or if you're in a boarding school, then it's those, and this command, and you're going to see that this command, I think, has greater implications even than his mother and father, but we'll touch on that last. Okay? All right, the second way, so first way that we honor our parents is by reverential esteem. The second way is by obeying them. Okay, Colossians 3:20. "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Be obedient. You realize Jesus Christ submitted himself to earthly parents and was obedient to them. Now, they were sinners. He was not. All right. Luke 2:51. "He went down with them. He came to Nazareth and he continued in subjection to them." This is after he had told his parents that he had to be about his father's business. And of course, and Mary treasured all these things in her heart. She didn't quite understand them, but she was holding them in. But needless to say, even when he was explaining to them that he had a job to do and that it was, and remember, Mary already knew. Remember, Mary had Jesus, you know, supernaturally. So, I mean, she knew that this child was special. All right? Huh? Plus, she was a Jewish mother. So, but notice, he continued in subjection to them. Okay? And disobedience is in Scripture, biblically, is looked upon as a major sin. I want to read something to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right. Listen carefully. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers. Wow. That's a bad list, right? Ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Yeah, you know what's right in the middle of that? Disobedient to parents. That's quite a list. That's quite a list that's given, and right in the middle of it, including, you know, malicious gossips, without self-control, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, right in the middle of that is disobedient to parents. So it's always looked upon. So obedience is another way. Third, by taking care of them in their need. Now, this is more applicable to us older children, because everybody's a child of somebody's. And so, but it's equally important when, even though once we grow and we believe in the biblical principle of leaving and cleaving, when you get married, you leave one household and you cleave to the next one, and it's a new covenant household, and you know your parents no longer have that same authority over you. All right, and this is one of the most difficult things for parents. You've raised a child, now they get married, and now you got to kind of let them go. You know, you don't have that same covenantal authority over them, all right? But according to the Scripture, we still have an obligation that when your parents get older and then they become needful once again, that is the children's obligation to take care of them. And that's summed up in this commandment as well. So children, listen to me. All right, I'm getting there. Okay? And we see this. Joseph took care of his father in his old age. Genesis 47:12, and Joseph provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food. And interestingly enough, remember what Jesus did on the cross?
That's right. He sold John.
John 19:25. Therefore the soldiers did these things, but they were standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her into his own household. Don't miss the impact of this. What is Jesus doing on the cross? Well, what's his primary mission on the cross? Yeah. This is the reason he came to earth. This is the centerpiece of all of history. It's the reason for the creation. We are here because Jesus was going to go to the cross. That's the centerpiece of everything. So here he is, the God-man, and in the midst of his accomplishing the very reason for the existence of all things, he turns and he tells John, "Take care of my mother." I mean, does that put things in a little bit of perspective for you? If Jesus, I mean, look, he was God. And yet, in the midst of everything that was going on, he commissions an apostle, "You make sure you take care of my mother." And John takes that so seriously that he brings Mary into his house. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. So, how can you show this honor? Okay. Well, how do we honor our parents? First and foremost, by listening to them. All right. I'm going to try to give you some tangible, you know, real tangible ways to honor parents. First is to listen to them. The book of Proverbs, I'm just got a couple of verses. Proverbs 4:1-4. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching, do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, Then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. And all throughout the book of Proverbs, we have these admonitions to listen to your father, pay heed to the instruction of your mother. And unfortunately, teenagers nowadays believe everything that's on the internet, or if it's written in a book, or if it's on television. You know, I love that commercial. Is it the State Farm commercial where the guy and the girl are standing there, they're talking, and she says, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm diagramming the accident. She says, oh, I didn't know you could do that. You know, he says, well, where did you hear that? On the internet, you know? Oh, and if they said it on the internet, it's got to be true. Where'd you hear that? On the internet, you know? And then she's dating a French model, and the guy comes walking out, bonjour, all right? Where'd you meet him? On the internet, okay? But we have a tendency, if it's on the internet, you know, believe it. If it's in a book, believe it. If some famous person says it, you believe it. The first responsibility of children is to listen to your parents.
That includes washing dishes.
In everything. Okay?
I wanted to emphasize that.
And Proverbs says that you should listen and become wise. So first way is listening. Then, of course, we'd already talked about obeying them. All right? But another way, and think about this, another way of honoring your parents is by being righteous. Okay? You think about, you know, even ungodly parents want their children to be good. Okay? Proverbs 23:24, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise son will be glad in him. All right? Notice how these things are all linked together. If you listen, and then you obey, and you do so with a good attitude, you will become a righteous person. This is the job of parents. The job of parents is to give wise instruction to their children so that they will listen to them. And that's why it's important even for parents. Notice there's admonitions here even for parents. If you want your children to honor you, you have to treat them in a godly way. We need to treat our children how God treats us. All right? Because we have the perfect Heavenly Father. And so how does God treat us? That's how we need to treat our children. And if we do so, that's our goal. I just want to talk a little bit more about attitude, all right, because we're talking about listening and obeying. Doing so with the right attitude is also important. You know, you can obey to the letter of the law and yet still be rebellious in your attitude. Okay, and you know what I mean. I don't think I have to even get into that. Okay? All right. Another way is to praise them publicly. When you want to honor somebody, what do? You do something publicly. And I don't mean that you have to, you know, put on a big, you know, rent a hall, invite people, and give them an award. All right? But that's how we honor people, isn't it? You know, we present plaques and medals and ribbons and whatnot, and we do so publicly. Well, children can do this to their parents day in and day out by how they speak about their parents to their friends and to other people. You know, when I was young, I don't hear this that much anymore, but when I was young, one of the disparaging ways that we used to refer to our father was the old man. Ah, yeah, the old man told me to, you know, I had to do this, you know. Is that still being used? Anybody say that anymore? Was it only the old? Yeah, I don't think the young kids. But it was kind of a, huh? but it was kind of a disparaging thing, you know. Like, the old man told me how to do this. What was the idea? Well, the old man, you know, he doesn't really know what he's talking about. Yeah, you just, you know, he's really, you know, he's beyond it. He's not hip. He's not into it. You know, look at the way he dresses, you know. He still wears bow ties.
This is possible.
I couldn't resist it, but I couldn't resist.
Got him started, though.
Okay. Okay. All right, let's go. Let's
focus.
All right. Reasons to obey. Why do we obey? Why should we obey this command? Firstly and foremost, because it's a command. All right. So we don't have to really get into that. But secondly, and we mentioned this a little bit earlier, because parents stand in God's place for children in this earth. Okay? And so if you understand the covenant structure, and I hope everybody in here today understands what we talk about when we mean the covenant structure. We've gone through this in many different studies, even from Sunday morning, talking about the covenant structure. All right? And we are in a covenant relationship with God. We covenant together as a church. The home is a covenant institution. There's laws that apply to it. It's binding. And the government is a covenant institution. Why do we pray for our government? Why do we honor our government even when we disagree with so many of the policies? Because it's a God's covenant institution, and they will have to stand for where they violate the covenant. All right? But so we need to understand that we have a covenant. Third is they deserve honor and respect. You know, even people who may not have had the best parents in the world, they still deserve the honor and the respect for the sacrifices that they've made. But fourthly, because it's pleasing to God. Not only is it a command, but it's pleasing to God. Go back to Colossians 3:20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And notice the verb, well-pleasing to the Lord. All right? And so you can't say that you're pleasing God when you're displeasing your parents. If you are walking in out-and-out rebellion to your parents, there is no way that you're pleasing God. It's hypocritical, you know, as best. Fifth, the Bible promises a tough life for those who dishonor their parents. Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Ew. It's kind of gross, isn't it? Why do you think the writer of Proverbs, and that's Proverbs 30, so that's probably one of the writings of Agur, all right? What is the imagery? The imagery is that you're going to live a hard life. So there's a very practical benefit to obeying the commandment. And, you know, isn't this interesting? In all of the commandments, all God had to do was command you, and it's binding upon you. But he gives you blessings when you obey. That's part of the covenant structure. So, and curses are consequences when you disobey. So children that disobey their parents, that dishonor their parents, are going to live a very difficult life. Sixth way is God promises rewards for those who honor their father and mother. All right, look at the commandment. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. That's repeated in the New Testament. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Notice the very practical reasons why we should give honor to our fathers and mothers. Things will go well with you. What's the converse? If you don't, things are not going to go well with you. Your eyes are going to be eaten by eagles. Okay? Okay. I didn't make it up. That's what the Word of God says. Okay. Lastly, to close with this commandment, Thomas Watson, in that commentary that I mentioned earlier, he shows how the word father, in particular, is used in Scripture to mean more than just our biological fathers. Okay? And so there's good reason to believe that this commandment is not, first and foremost, it's talking about our biological parents. But it's also talking about anyone who is in a position of authority over you. It can be the church fathers, We even refer to George Washington as the father of our country. It's that same type of context. And that's what we're looking at here, is that this commandment, yes, first and foremost, it's meaning your biological mother and father or your guardian, whoever, legal guardians, whoever that happens to be. But it also means anybody who is placed in authority. That would extend to teachers, to employers, all right, certainly to governmental authorities, all right, and this is by extension. So the commandment is really greater. If you are one who is in rebellion to lawful authority, not just your parents, but in rebellion to lawful authority, I think all of the curses that Scripture pronounces on being disobedient to parents also apply. If you're disobedient to your teachers, cause your teachers grief, same thing. You're looking for a life of hardship. Any questions on this fifth commandment? And again, the position of it in the table is very important. Even if you don't put it over on the first table, it's at the very least, it's a bridge from the first table, how do we view God, to how do we treat men. Okay? Thoughts? Final thoughts? John?
I can remember growing up, my mother telling us that if we had a problem with an adult, we would keep our mouth shut and say nothing. But the moment she would tell us, the moment you open your mouth, I can't go defend you if you're right, because the first thing they're going to tell me is your child disrespects
me. Yeah? Sure. Yeah, somebody else said, yeah.
Sure. You really see what a gift gives you personally in that, you know, just the love that you experience and stuff. And it's also, you want to be a servant.
Sure. Okay. Yep. Steve?
In America, how our culture changed since about the time when we stopped honoring our parents.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely a parallel. Yeah. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So it's foundational.
Yep. Satan Bus? Yes.
And from that standpoint, practically speaking, if you honor your authority, whether you be the child honoring your parent, you honoring your whoever you're working for, whatever, whoever, you know, if you honor the authority and don't grate on them, you're more likely to accomplish things, and if changes need to be made, they're going to respect you. Listen. Whereas if it's the other way around and you're constantly going against authority, they're not going to listen and you're going to get yourself in trouble anyway.
Yep. Okay. All right. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you again for these commandments which instruct us into the way of godliness. We ask, Father, that even after studying this morning, that each one of us would take this fifth commandment more to heart, that we would honor our mothers and fathers. And, Father, for those of us who are parents and have children, that we would instruct our children in the proper way, that they would be in submission and respectful to all other authorities. We thank you and praise you now, Father. Prepare our hearts for worship, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.